That's that much, much, much better. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book. So I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. For a minute there, y'all, you all were putting me to sleep, so I had to do something. Amen. Philippians chapter 2. And when you get there, say amen. I had to do something, Arlene. Amen. What a mighty God we. Philippians chapter 2. It's on page 1056 in my Bible. Are you there? Amen. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any, something's echoing, if any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Amen? In Philippians chapter 2, we find a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christian church at Philippi. And in this letter, he is not only challenging them to walk in unity and to become good servants, he is also educating them on how to walk in unity to become good servants. He is not only challenging them to walk in unity and become good servants, he is also educating them on how to walk in unity and become good servants. Because apparently, either someone wrote Paul a letter, or Paul had witnessed the fact that the Christians at Philippi were saying that they were encouraged, okay? They had been encouraged because they had accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In other words, they were encouraged because they have been united with Christ. Are you all still with me this morning? Amen. So from the experience that Paul gained from being a good servant of the Lord, you know, after his conversion on Damascus Road, from the experience that he gained from being a good servant of the Lord, he wanted them to know how important unification and servanthood is in the body of Christ, okay? He wanted them to understand how important unification and servanthood is in the body of Christ. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And see, he wanted them to know that unification and servanthood is not about just talking the talk. It's about walking the walk. Are you all still with me this morning? Amen. Because when we talk about unification and servanthood, you know, those are two words that the Christian world throw around like a yo-yo. You know, people are always talking about unity in the body of Christ, becoming one in the body of Christ, or talking about being a servant in the body of Christ, or servanthood. So we throw those words around like we throw around a yo-yo. Y'all ever had a yo-yo? Anybody know? Y'all know what a yo-yo is, right? Amen. I know this is 2021. They don't play with yo-yos no more. Amen. Amen. But you know, with the butter, they had names of them. Y'all. So we take these two words, unification and servanthood, and we throw them around like a yo-yo. But the problem is that many people who throw them around like yo-yos are not living them out in their life. Amen. Those words just become words to say in the church world. I like to say the church world, okay? You know, God is all about unity. We all one body in Christ Jesus. We all have the same spirit, you know. And people talk about being a good servant, you know, in the house or in the body of Christ. They talk about the servants in the Bible who didn't do the right thing with their money. You know, they're supposed to be good servants, but they didn't do the right thing. Are you all still with me this morning? But in many cases, we as Christians, many of us in this world who talk about unification and servanthood, we are not living it out in our lives. And Paul wanted them to understand how important unification and servanthood is. Amen? And because we are not living unification and servanthood out in our lives the way God wants us to, you know, the body of Christ is being affected in a negative way. Okay? The body of Christ is being affected in a negative way. Because as Christians, we all are members of the body of Christ. And when one member of the body is not operating in unity or is not operating as a good servant, it affects the whole body of Christ. Are you all still with me this morning? Amen. So we're being affected in a negative way. And how many of you know that that negative way that we are being affected in is called division? Okay? There is I believe there's more division in the body of Christ than it is out in the world. Because see, the people who are out in the world who have never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, they are already on one accord. Are y'all still with me? But I believe there's more division in the body of Christ than it is out in the world. You know, and that's because of the negativity. Because how many of you know negativity always leads to division? Y'all still with me? And when something is divided, it leads to other problems. It doesn't matter how big or small the division is. When something is divided, it always leads to other problems. Let me give you a good example. You know, when there is a crack in the wall, okay, although it may be a small crack, you know, it always leads to other problems because when the wall's cracked, then here come the bugs. The bugs come in. Are you all still with me? Or, you know, when it rains outside, the rain squeezes in, you know. And the longer the crack stays divided in a small portion, it's going to eventually get even more divided. And then now the rats come in. And here comes the squirrels. And then before long, the peasants are flying in. Are y'all still with me? Amen. So in other words, what I'm trying to say, when something is divided, it causes problems, more problems. And I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about the body of Christ as a whole. Okay? I'm talking about the body of Christ as a whole. Because as Christians, we are supposed to be representatives of Jesus. But when we are divided, we're not representing anything but ourselves. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And because even in a marital relationship, you know, there may be some things that have caused just a little division, you know. And when something is divided, it is that door is being opened for Satan to come in. And we know when Satan comes in, then he causes more havoc. Because now, instead of the husband and the wife loving each other like God has designed marriage to be, now we start trying to say, well, I'm better than you, or you better than me, or I'm better than you, you did this, and all of a sudden, it gets even more divided. And then there are more problems because if there are children involved, now the children are affected. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. So there is nothing positive about division, because division always is a result of something that is negative. Amen. As I stand right here, I'm looking at the door right there, and right there in the crack, you know, at the corner, you know, where you open the door at, I see a little light, you know. And how many of you know that light is not coming from the inside? That light is coming from the outside. In other words, there's a little division right there, and it's just a little small thing, but the light has already come in already. Amen? Now, that's just an example, you know, of how when things are division, then it could cause more problems. Because if it rained and the rain started to raise up, guess what? Some of it is coming on the inside. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. So, there's nothing good about division, you know. Paul talked to them about unification and servanthood. I believe those two go together myself. I don't know about you, but I believe, you know, unification and servanthood go together, you know. So if you're looking for a title for today's message, the title is Actions of Unification and Servanthood. Actions of Unification and Servanthood. Because I believe to change that divisive status, there are two words that as Christians we need to be very familiar with. I've already told you what they were. Number one, the word unification and the word servanthood. Okay? Unification and servanthood. Amen. That word unification means the process of being unified. Now, I'm not trying to question anyone's intelligence. I know you all are smarter than I am, so I have to teach the word so I can understand it, because if I can understand it, anybody can understand it. Amen. So that word unification means is the process of being unified, or the process of being whole or complete. Amen. And that word process, you know, means the word process means actions or steps taken, okay, to achieve whatever it is that we're trying to get to. The process is actions or taken to achieve whatever the goal is. Amen? So as Christians, if I want to be unified, okay, in the body of Christ, there are some actions or steps I need to take in order to achieve unification. And these steps are required by not just one member of the body of Christ, but by every member of the body of Christ. Because if one member in the body of Christ does not take these steps that are required, it will affect the whole body of Christ. Y'all still with me this morning? Amen. So everyone, if you are a Christian, you have a role to play in the actions or the steps. If you're not a Christian, you can be one today. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and it don't cost you nothing. Amen? And then we have the word, okay? The servanthood is a role of being a servant, okay? The role of being a servant, and servanthood is based on attitude. Servanthood is based on attitude. Because if a person has an attitude, a bad attitude, they're not going to serve. And I'm not talking about just in the church. I'm talking about in the Christian world, in the body of Christ as a whole. Are you all still with me? It is the role of being a servant, or, listen, the role of serving and not being served, okay? It is the role of serving and not being served. Now, I know you all probably understand these definitions. I'm not trying to question your integrity, but as I teach this message, it's very important that as members of the body of Christ, we understand unification and and that is exactly what the Apostle Paul was across to the Christians at Philippi. Because once again, he found out some kind of way that they were encouraged to be united with Christ Jesus. And there are many Christians today in this world. I know I am. I am encouraged to be united with Jesus. Amen. And so he challenged them, and he also gave them some education. Amen. Now I want to go back to the series of scripture, the series of scripture that we just read. Because in the series of scripture here that we just read, Paul really covered the definitions of unification and servanthood. Look at what he said here. He said, verse 1, there be therefore any consolation? In other words, the NIV says that you have any encouragement for being united with Christ, okay? If you have any encouragement, now he knew that they did, but he wanted to challenge them, okay? He said, if you have any encouragement for being united with Christ, he said, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship, if any bowels and mercies, he says, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Do y'all see that? Amen. In other words, the definition he gave for unification is, number one, like-minded. Number two, the same love, which is the love of God. Number three, be on one accord or together. Number four, he said here in verse number three, he says, let nothing be done through strife, which is selfish ambition, or vainglory, which is self-conceit. Okay? Let nothing be done through selfishness or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, okay? But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. In other words, once again, unification is the opposite of strife. It is the opposite of conceit. It is the opposite of selfishness. And included in unification is humility. 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 And then he talked about servanthood. He's talked about servanthood. He said, once again, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in humility let each person, okay, esteem others better than themselves. In other words, I got to think more about you than I do myself, okay? That's called a lack of selfishness, okay? A lack of selfishness. That's servanthood, you know? When it's hot in the church and there's only one bottle of water left, you know, I can't say, well, give it to me because I'm the pastor. No, I need to give it to you. Y'all still with me? I need to serve you. Not me, but you, okay? And then he said but every man also, he said, look, verse 4, look, not every man on his own interest, on his own interest, King James says things, but every man also on the things of others. In other words, I have to put people before myself, okay? I can't stand around and say, me, my, and I. It's all about me. No. I need to put the interests of other people, you know. That's why I asked the question earlier. Is anyone hot? Is anyone cold? See, I can deal with it, you know. The temperature does not have to be comfortable for me. I want to be comfortable for you. Amen. That's just an example, you know, putting people before yourselves, putting other people's interests before our interests. That's what servanthood is all about. And how many of you know in verses 1, verses 2, verses 3, and verses 4, all Paul did was to give us a description of Jesus Christ. That's what he just did. In other words, if you want to operate in unification, and if you want to operate as a good servant, you need to follow Jesus. That's what he said in so many words. Because everything that he named, Jesus is. And Jesus is the head of the body of Christ. Are y'all still with me? Amen, amen. And everything we read is about Jesus. And how many of you know Jesus took the necessary steps? Jesus took the necessary actions, okay? He took the necessary actions to represent servanthood and unification. y'all still with me this morning? Amen, amen, amen. See, and the reason why he achieved those things is because he followed the process. I told you unification is the process. Servanthood is a process, okay? Steps and guidelines that are required to achieve a goal or to accomplish a mission. Jesus followed the process. And because Jesus followed the process, he became unified with his Father and the Holy Spirit, and he became a good servant, just like his Father and the Holy Spirit. There was no division there. The Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three are on one. Unification and servanthood. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen, amen, amen. All three of them are like-minded. All three of them have the same love. Are y'all still with me this morning? All three of them are on one accord. All three of them are not selfish. Or neither one of them are selfish. Neither one of them are conceited. They all practice humility. I mean, God sent Jesus to us, didn't he? Jesus came to die for our sins of the world, didn't he? The Holy Spirit is here right now leading and guiding us into all truth, isn't he? I believe that's a sign of humility. Are y'all still with me? They all valued one another, other people. God loved us so much that he sent Jesus. Jesus died on the cross because he loved us so much. And once again, I tell you the role of the Holy Spirit already. One accord, unification, servanthood. And they did not look at their own interest. You know what Adam and Eve messed up? God could have said, like some of us say today, man, later for mankind. They can't get it right. He didn't have to send Jesus, but he had our interest in heart. But wait a minute, because Jesus didn't have to come. I mean, don't you know that the Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus is God in the flesh, not God the Father, but God the Son. That's why we get the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three, but one accord. Jesus could have said, God, I don't feel like going down that today to die for mankind. I don't feel like doing that. But he came, didn't he? Why? Because he had our own interest in heart. The Holy Spirit was there with them at the beginning of time. 1 John 5:7, there's three that bear witness of heaven. The Father, the Spirit, and the Word. And these three are one. Because in heaven, Jesus' name was not Jesus. His name is the Word. But when he came down to earth, from heaven to earth to show the way, they gave him an earthly name. His name is Jesus. Are y'all still with me? Like when you were born, they gave you a name. Jerusalem school or whatever your name is. Amen, amen. The Holy Spirit. I mean, he could have said, Jesus, look, Jesus, I know you want me to send me back for those hard-headed people. Jesus, I haven't made. But the Holy Spirit did not say that. Why? Because he had God's best interest in heart, and he had our interest in heart, and he came back, and he's here right now to lead us and guide us. To being good servants and to help us to get unified in the body of Christ. Because we throw the words around so much. Amen? So Jesus is on the same accord as the Father and the Holy Spirit. And because he is on the same accord, because he is one with them, the Bible tells us in the same chapter that he was highly exalted. The Bible didn't tell us that Jesus was highly exalted. I mean, it was exalted. It said he was highly exalted. How many of you know there is a difference between being exalted and being highly exalted? See, exalted, if something is off the ground, it's exalted. But if it's highly, that means it's, are y'all still with me this morning? Amen, amen. Unification and servanthood. So see, Jesus went through the process. And that's why he became unified. Well, Pastor, what's the process? Well, how many of you are glad that you asked me that question? He went through the guidelines and the steps to achieve what he needed to achieve. Look at the same chapter, the process. Because if we want to be who God created us to be, we need to follow the same process, the same guidelines, perform the same actions that Jesus Christ did. Are y'all still with me? Listen, I cannot worry. Listen, in the body of Christ, I cannot worry about anyone else. You cannot worry about what anyone else does. You can't. You have to worry about yourself. If somebody else is not following the process, that's not your concern, that's their concern. But as Christians, we must take responsibility for our own actions and do what is required of us to achieve unity in the body of Christ and to be good servants. Can't worry about nobody else, see? Because the problem with a lot of Christians, you know, and I can say that because I am one, is we always worrying about what someone else is doing or what they're not doing. That has nothing to do with us. The only thing that has something to do with us is us. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen, man. I must follow the process. What's the process? Go back to Philippians chapter 2. Amen. Amen. The Bible says here, after the Apostle Paul told them, gave them a class and educated them about unification and servanthood, he told them how to get there. He said in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in who? Christ Jesus. So that tells me right there that my mind plays a very important part in unification and servanthood. My mind has a role to play in that. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. And then he talked about the mind that was in Christ Jesus. Look at what he said here. He says, who being in the form of God, verse 6, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And it says, because of that, God also hath highly, somebody say highly. God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. We say that name this morning. The name is Jesus. Call that name Jesus. Call that name Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Are y'all still with me this morning? A name above all names. You know, the praise team sung that song. Let all the other names fade away. Because there's no name stand up against the name of Jesus. Highly exalted him. Why? Because he went through the process of led him to be unified with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to be a good servant. Are y'all still with me? What a mighty God we serve. Amen, amen, amen. Let's dissect this series of scriptures that I just read. Amen. Because, you know, we read it all the time. I know many of us know the series of scriptures, but let's do some dissecting here. The way I used to dissect those frogs when I was in school. Amen, amen, amen. I know. They probably put you in jail today for doing that. Amen. Hearing them frogs like that. Amen. They mind their own business. We mess. Amen. Anyway, look at here. Once again, the Bible says that who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be what? Equal with God. You know, I told a message last week of how people try to, the Bible say we are the, Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. We got people who are trying to be the vine. People are trying to be equal to God. But Jesus himself, who was God the Son, the Bible says that although he was in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he said, yeah, I might be God's son. You know, he didn't come down here on earth, you know, saying, well, you know who I am. Do you? Y'all know who I am. No. He never said he was God. They said, are you, Jesus said, is that who you say I am? He didn't come down here saying, well, y'all been not messing with me because y'all don't know who I am. I'm God's son. No. Me and God, he did not do that. I'm not equal to him. Verse 7 said, he made himself of what? Notice what the Bible said. He said he made himself of no reputation. He made himself. The other person probably gave him a good reputation, but he didn't make himself one. In other words, he didn't take credit for anything. Christians, sometimes we want to take credit for everything. Well, if it wasn't for me, that church wouldn't be. No. He made himself. So that means that part of the process is that we need to not make ourselves of any reputation. He made himself of no reputation. And took upon the form of a what? Servant. In other words, he says, it's not about me, it's about you. It's not about my interest, it's about your interest. He says, it's not what you can do for me, but it's what I can do for you. The form of a servant. I mean, from being in heaven with God the Father, God the Son, to coming down to earth to be a servant, how many of you know that that's humility? See, because in the Christian world or the church world, you tell someone who's been in church for a long time that you want them to vacuum the floor. Be like, what? I did that when I first became a Christian. That's what they would say. Because they think they're too good now. They're too good. Oh, I can't do that. No. I'm better than that. Because my reputation won't allow me to do that. But what did Jesus do? He became a servant. A servant. That tells me that he had the heart of a servant. We're going to talk about that heart a little later on. Y'all still with me? A servant. And was made in the likeness of men. In other words, he was born to this world. I told you that before he was born to this world, he was in heaven. His name was the Word. That's why the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, who was Jesus, the Word. Jesus came down here for us because he had us in his interest, his best interest. Are y'all still with me? And then look at this. It says, found as a man, he did what? He did what? I mean, you know, I know this is very, very, very simple. Notice he humbled himself. Because how many of you know if we do not humble ourselves, God will humble us? See, he humbled himself. Nobody had to beat it in him. Nobody said, listen, No, he humbled himself. Why? Because he knew that the only way that he could get the body of Christ or get us saved to die for mankind to make a difference in this world, he could not come down here conceited. He could not come down here with a selfish mindset. what he used to do. Well, you know, he couldn't tell about that. He had to humble himself. Are y'all still with me this morning? And not only did he humble himself, he became what? Obedient. God, I'm not doing that. Now, God, I'm not doing that. I tell you what I do, though, God. I'll die. I'll die for Ronald. But that Ron Wallace, oh, I ain't die for him. Now, the Bible says he died for the sins of the world. And I've told you many times, when you see the word world, put your name right there. He was obedient. He did exactly what God told him to do in heaven and in earth. And by doing that, we already know the Bible says God highly exalted him with a name above all names. Because Jesus followed the process, because he followed the guideline and the steps, Jesus, that led him to be unified, and he became a good, or he stayed a true servant of God. Not just a servant, but a true servant. See? A true servant. See, a lot of people, there are a lot of servants, but they're not true. They're true sometimes. You know, I mean, you've met some of those people in your life. They're the ones that tell you, hey, if you ever need me, call me. If I can do anything for you, I'm just a phone call away. I'll be your bridge over troubled water. And as soon as you need them, you call them and I'll call them back. I know what they want. You know anybody like that? You ever met anybody like that? He's a true servant. Why? Because he wasn't selfish. He wasn't conceited. He had practiced humility. He wanted to be just like his father. Are y'all still with me this morning? Notice who exalted him. Notice the Bible did not say that he exalted himself. But God exalted him. And see, in this world, some of us have it, this word y'all like to use, twisted. See, Jesus did a lot. And because of what he did, God exalted him. But many of us are not doing anything in this world, but we're exalting ourselves. I mean, you know, this just came to me. Exaltation requires action. If I do not do anything, I don't deserve to be exalted. But we have it backwards. We just want to be exalted just because we want to be exalted. And we're not doing anything. But I believe that exaltation is something that belongs to God. Because when people try to lift themselves up, they will eventually come tumbling down. And then what they do is find someone to blame. Well, it wasn't for you, it wouldn't happen to me. No, it happened to you because you exalted yourself. God exalts. And the Bible tells us that a person who exalts themselves is foolish. Because I've never seen it in the Bible. You're just making it up there with your bald head. Okay. Go to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. This is Word of Knowledge Ministries. Amen. Word of Knowledge. It's all about knowledge. If someone mentioned, I think it was Elder Risha on Wednesday. That's our base scripture, Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's why we teach the word, because we want us, I say us because it's for me to receive some knowledge. A lot of times people do not do because they just don't know. But we expect them to already know. You should have already known that. Well, how can I know if I've never been taught that? That's why this is called Word of Knowledge Ministry. Did you know? Did you know that's why we call this Word of Knowledge Ministry? See? He didn't know that. People are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Are you at Proverbs 30? Look at what the Bible says here in verse number 30. Let's start right there for the second time. It says a lion. I'm sorry, I'm going too fast. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 30. How you say? No, 30. See, 30. See, when I was little, I used to say 30. But now I'm in the church as a public speaker. I have to make sure I say it right. 30. That little country boy in North Carolina said 30. Give me 30. But sometimes I break it down in syllables. 30. Are y'all still with me this morning? You know how it goes, right? Amen. So in this verse 30, the Bible says, a lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any. A greyhound is he goat also, and a king against whom there is no rising up. It says, if thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself or exalting thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. That means I need to put my hand over my mouth. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I know I'll give y'all all my growing up story. And when people do something wrong, Kevin, you can relate to that, huh? People are like, whoa, mama gonna get you. Well, the Bible says if you have foolishly exalted ourselves, put a hand over our mouth. Oh, because once again, God does exalt it. Jesus did not exalt himself, God exalted him. Are y'all still with me? Luke 18, for the second time, Jesus said, if you exalt yourself, you will be humbled. The Bible tells us to humble ourselves, okay? Jesus said in Luke 18, if we exalt ourselves, because see, some people misread the Bible. When the Bible says to humble ourselves, they think it means exalt ourselves. But Jesus told them, he said, if you exalt yourself, you will be humbled. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Just want to show you this. Amen. And we're going to move on. James 4. Back by Peter and John. 1 John. James chapter 4. I'm just going to show you this. James chapter 4. Y'all still with me? It's all about being better Christians. As we get prepared, Lila already said it, we're getting ready to move into another year. It's time for us to clean some things up and be prepared to move forward. In James chapter 4, the Bible says, look at verse number 10 there. It says, humble yourself in the sight of who? The Lord, and he shall do what? Lift you up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. 1 Peter 5, 6 says pretty much the same thing. 1 Peter 5, 6 says he will lift you up and exalt you in due season. Are you all still with me? So once again, it's God who does the exalting. And exaltation is based on us humbling ourselves and doing what the Word of God tells us to do. And because Jesus did those things, okay, Jesus is our example of unification and servanthood. Because he did those things, the Bible says God highly exalted him. It tells me if I want to be highly exalted, I need to make a difference in this world, because Jesus made a difference in this world. Are y'all still with me this morning? Being exalted, Jesus made a positive difference in this world. Not just a difference, but a positive difference. Well, Pastor, what did he do? Well, he healed the sick. He fed the hungry. Even when the disciples were hungry, he fed them. Because the disciples told Jesus, we've been here for a long time, these people are hungry. You know when Jesus turned, you know, the fish and the loaves of bread, when he increased? No, the disciples see, they were hungry. These are the people hungry. No, Jesus probably, if I was Jesus, I would say, no, you hungry. But I'm sure they ate some fish too, though. Y'all still with me? Amen. He prayed for people. He prayed for other people. He prayed for the disciples. In the book of John, before he was crucified, he prayed for the disciples. And how many know he also prayed for us? God, I don't pray for them, but I also pray for those who will come to follow me later on. So many words, paraphrase. And how many know he also encouraged other people? He encouraged people. He encouraged them. So once again, he is our example of unification and servanthood. He showed us how to do it. Why? Because he had a servant's heart. Just like King David, just like the Apostle Paul. And that's why the Apostle Paul educated the church at Philippi on unity and servanthood. Why? Because he had a servant's heart. Are you all still? The only way that Jesus could have made it through the process that led to unification and true servanthood is that his mind had to be right. The only way. That's why the Apostle Paul told them to let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. And then he told them the results of the mind that was in Christ. In other words, he was telling them, if you don't have that same mind that Jesus had, you would not be able to do it. Because how many of you know that not only did Jesus have a good mind, he also had a good heart. Because the mind affects the heart. Did you know that? In the natural world and in the spiritual. A lot of people have a bad heart because they have a bad mind. A lot of people have a bad mind because they have a bad heart. Let me give you a little bit of whatever you call it. Don't you know that studies have proven that people who have problems in their mind, you know, depression, oppression, anxiety, those type of things, they have a greater chance of having heart issues. Did you know that? Just look it up. I'm not talking about something. Why is that? Well, because the mind is connected to the heart. See, one thing we need to understand about Satan, we know that Satan attacks the mind, don't we? You know, bring all these negative thoughts. But what he's really after is your heart. Do you know that? See, he tried to get to the heart through the mind. Why? Because he knows that the heart is a place where we should be storing good things. Look at your heart as being a storage room for right now, for the sake of this lesson. I'm going to show you what I'm talking about a little later on. So he works through the mind. But he's after the heart. Give you a good example. Mind is the entryway to the heart. Did you know that? Give you a good example. When a person is holding unforgiveness in their heart, it started in their mind. Say that Elder Bondrant over here did something that I don't like. And I say, I'm through with him. It's in the mind right now. That's the initial contact. I'm done with him. I used to call him Elder Bondrant. Now I'm going to start calling him Elder Donjunt just to make him upset. And that thought, I have decided in my mind to not forgive him for what he did. In my mind. And that unforgiveness is stored in my heart. See, that's why people can't forgive people today for what they did to them. Because the longer they hold on to it, it gets worse. Why? Because it's in the heart. It's in the heart, see? But it started in the mind. And every time I see him, the mind is going to remind me what's stored in my heart. Remember what he did to you? Still I go forget. That's just an example. That's why I say with your heart. But he attacks you in your mind. Hey, he wants your mind too, because if you get your mind, he knows he's going to eventually get to your heart. The reason why Satan wants the heart, for two reasons. Number one, he knows that the heart is a storage room. He knows that there are several things that the Bible tells us to store in our heart. Can't show you scripture right now because my time is almost up. Part two next week. Number one, we need to store the word in our heart. Number two, we need to store God's commandments in our hearts. And number three, in Proverbs, the Bible says, out of the heart, issues of life. That's why he's trying to get your heart. The mind's battleground. For those of us who may not know, this is why Satan attacks us. This is the initial point of interest for Satan. Through your ears and your mind. That's why the Bible tells us to renew the mind. Because once you get into the mind, it can affect other things. Just like in the natural world. If I walk around depressed, anxiety, all that thing, it has a strong effect on my heart. That's just the way it is. But a right mind will lead to a right heart. And a lot of people do not have a servant heart, and that's why they, instead of living in unity in the body of Christ, they cause division in the body of Christ. And I cannot be a good servant if I'm not practicing unification. I told you earlier those two words go together. Amen. Are y'all still with me? For the sake of time, I got about 6 minutes. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4. And I think this is going to be my last scripture for today. Part 2 next week. You don't want to miss it. If we want to become better people, if we want to become better Christians, It's time for us to get some things in order. Because once again, in Philippians 2, many of us know the scripture. Jesus, he humbled himself, came down in the form of a man. And God, yeah, we know that. But let's compare those scriptures to ourselves. Let's look at them and say, wait a minute, okay. Am I doing this? Am I doing this? I'm done. And it's very possible that we might find out that we, instead of us doing those things, we're just reading what Jesus did. I mean, we used to walk around with the little wrist thing and say, what would Jesus do? Right? The Bible already tells us what Jesus did. And it also tells us what he's still doing. He's seated on the right-hand side of the Father making intercessions for us. Are y'all still with me? What would Jesus do? What? He just did something to me. Let me find out what Jesus would do. No, we should already know what Jesus would do. He humbled himself. He put others before himself. That's what he did. Are y'all still with me? Are you at Proverbs 4? Look at verse number 20. Here we go. I'm almost done. The Bible says, my son, Proverbs, attend to my words, incline their ear into my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep my saying in the midst of what? Thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. And then the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out are the issues of life. And then the Bible tells me how to keep my heart with all diligence. It says in verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth. I can't have my way. I don't know if they don't know who they messing with. Get that. Turn that upside down you to a real you. And perverse lips put far from thee. Verse 25 says, let thine eyes look right on and let thine ear lids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Out of the heart flows the issues of life. Satan knows that. And he knows that the Bible tells us to store the word of God in our hearts. Are you in Proverbs, look at chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, since we're there. Say, my son, forget not my law, but let thine what? Heart keep my what? Commandments. Let what keep the commandments? The heart. Christians, I'm here to tell you that God's commandments are found where? In the Bible, right? In the Word. If the Bible tells me here that let thine heart keep my commandments, that means I should let my heart keep what else? The word. Because the commandments are in the word. So if I keep the word of God in my heart, not in my mind, I'm closing. If I keep the word of God in my heart, not in my mind, because the mind plays tricks on us. The mind is what helps us to make a New Year's resolution in December and then forget about it in June. That's the mind. This year I'm going to make God first. I'm going to put him first in my life. I'm going to serve him like I never served him before. And then by June, we don't even remember what our New Year's resolution was. That's the mind. But when we put it in the heart, it goes into storage. It's always there. I have to guard it. I'm going to show you how to guard it next week. If it's in the heart, I know it's there. And the Bible says, out of the heart flows the issues of life. So when it comes to unification and servanthood, if I have God's commands in my heart, in his word in my heart, then it's easier for me to go through the process or the steps that are required, like Jesus did. But if I have the word in my mind, like a lot of Christians have, they don't have it in the heart, it's just in their mind. Because they think that they have a different status. They think this and think that. Okay, Clark, I appreciate you letting me know that it's time for me to quit. You know, the mind plays tricks on us. You're fired. Stand to your feet. We serve a mighty God. I know that this might not have been a jump up and down message, but Jesus says that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. It's time for us, as I said last week, to reevaluate our position with God. It's time for us to reevaluate our positions as Christians. Nobody's perfect. We all make mistakes, to include Pastor Ron. But we should strive to be the best us that we can be. And the only way that we can be the best us that we can be is to follow the footsteps of Jesus. Because we serve a God who is a God of grace, a God of mercy, a God who wants unification in the body of Christ, a God who knows that when there is a crack in the wall, anything can get in to cause more problems. And as I mentioned to us before, we can't worry about what other people are doing. Worry about yourself. Because we can't fix others, but through the word, we can definitely help ourselves. Amen? Part two next week. Somebody give God a hand, praise, because he's worthy.